As you wander up the old bush road that is the track to Govey's Lagoon, it winds its way slowly up the hill until you suddenly discover, that's if it's not been really dry, a lagoon nestled into the valley. Hello, I'm Mike Swinson, and welcome to the Sound Files on Chauncey Vale. It's a very pretty spot, this lagoon. Lots of frogs, insects, and of course, where there's water in bush like this, and frogs and insects, there'll be snakes, particularly copperheads and tiger snakes. So keep a wary eye out. The story behind the name of the waterhole is a reflection of times just after the war, as Heather Chauncey explains.
This is what we call Govey's Lagoon. It's not a permanent water area, but up until January or so, we usually get quite good water in here, which is a nice area for frogs and for birds and things to come down. There's not much water between here and tops of the hills. But we called it that because when we first had the sanctuary declared wildlife sanctuary with great effort in 46, we thought, well, we better sort of have a ceremony or something. And we were acquainted with the current governor then, Sir Hugh Binney, and Lady Binney. Sir Hugh was an admiral during Second World War who came out here just before the end of the war as governor. And he'd been serving on a ship with where my mother's cousin was captain in Britain, and said, you know, be kind to my admiral. So we'd got in touch with them when they came out. And we thought, oh, well, we're going to do this, we'll invite them up. And we invited them up, and that was fine. They were coming out for afternoon tea. My mother madly baked large chocolate cakes with rum in them, just suitable for naval people. And they arrived safely, and that was good. And Lady Binney said, oh, could she change into her jodhpurs? So having stuffed all the junk into the spare bedroom, which consequently looked like chaos, she went in there and changed into her jodhpurs. They wanted to go for a walk. Well, that was fine. And we thought, oh, yes, you know, take a little stroll. So Hugh was fairly aged then. He had been retired before the Second World War began. So he wasn't very young, and he was a bit on the stout side and didn't look all that fit. But never mind. So we walked up, and we walked through the property, and we told him what we wanted to do, and showed him, you know, the idea behind it. And they went on walking, and they went on walking, and they went on walking. They walked all the way up here. And we felt we really ought to commemorate this fairly good effort on their part by calling it after them. Then we went back to the house, and they had afternoon tea and drove off. They must have spent about 3 hours up here, which, you know, it's quite a fair amount of time for Governor of Tasmania to be spending all by themselves up here peacefully. I think they enjoyed being up here. Lady Binney was very interested in a lot of the things going on. She was very interested in education, particularly. She had a great deal of involvement with some of our schools and things, and continued her interest when they went back to England. But that was the origin of the name. But these little depressions in the hills are interesting because you get them all the way through this sort of country. There's a very big one behind the caves there called the Tarn, which was used by all the properties round, all the fence lines cross going through it, because it was the only permanent water up on top of the hills. With the amount of lack of rainfall over the last 30 years, that has dried once or twice. You get very heavy, if you get a really heavy rainfall, the water all rushes straight down these very steep hills and then stops in the little hollows at the bottom. So you do get nice little pockets like this, and you can get quite interesting ferns and things. The runoff from this one actually has some tree ferns growing in it just at the base where it comes into the creek. You get tree ferns growing in all these little valleys. So long as the trees are kept round them and they don't dry out too much, most of these valleys that come off this north slope facing south or west, where they don't get too much sunlight, will have what is almost a small rainforest community in the base of them. So you get tree ferns, and you get some of the other ferns and some of the orchids that you wouldn't normally have in this kind of countryside. Most of those little valleys all the way through the Midlands now have been dried out too much grow anything like that. But in the past, they would all have been quite wet little areas with nice wet things. And you get a nice variety of frogs. You may be able to hear little frog squeaks in the background. At least two varieties in here at the moment I can hear calling. There are five different varieties of frog on the property, including the green and gold, which are now apparently rare and endangered and whatever, and the big banjos, but they're mostly further down. We have some green and gold far up in the creek as well. Well, it's a good water hole for anything around. Birds use it a lot. And of course snakes and lizards come round because they're frogs and tadpoles and things of that sort.
It's a great spot to sit on the old bush seat that's next to the lagoon and just listen to the frogs and watch, particularly early in the morning or late afternoon as the animals come in to drink. I have visions of a rather plump governor struggling on and up the hill till he and his wife finally came to this somewhat nondescript lagoon. It could well be the setting of many a bush tale, and of course Heather's mother Nan used the entire property as inspiration for her many children's books. By the way, you can see copies of the books at the Daydawn Homestead, or of course borrow them from the State Library of Tasmania. You might even get them online. Now from here, you can continue up to the lookout, which is well worthwhile, or simply return the way you came and head down along the creek to the car park.